We're continuing today with our series, Political Science, When Data and Ideology Collide. And today, we're looking at how politicians cite morality and ethics in banning medical procedures.
The majority of partial birth abortions are not required by medical emergency. As Congress has found, the practice is widely regarded within the medical profession as unnecessary, not only cruel to the child, but harmful to the mother, and a violation of medical ethics.
As President George W. Bush at a signing of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act in 2003. That ban was later upheld by the Supreme Court, and it should be said that Bush later allowed some federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, and that was controversial with some of the same people who liked his partial birth abortion ban. So we wanted to turn to a medical ethicist, someone who watches how science interacts with the culture. Dr. Art Kaplan is head of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Langone Medical Center. He's testified before state legislatures regarding ethics and medicine. He's testified in front of Congress many times, too. On abortion and embryonic stem cell research, he's seen how politicians ignore science that runs against their ideology, but also how scientists hype the promise of their research to secure more funding.
Many, many state legislatures and many people in Congress at the national level have tried to enact legislation that recognizes that a fetus needs to be kept free from pain during the process of an abortion. So they introduce statutes that say, if you're going to end a pregnancy, you must do pain control for the fetus, and that has to start at 18 weeks. Now, the fact is, doing pain control in a fetus inside a mom is extremely risky to the mom to try and administer any kind of agents through the uterus. The facts are that the brain of the fetus isn't developed enough to have the fetus feel pain, say, at 18 to 20 weeks. It's too early. Things aren't wired there yet. The AMA has said this. Lots and lots of experts who study fetal development and neonatology have said this. Yet, when you go in front of a hearing, and I've done it at the state level and at the national level a number of times, and say, well, here are the facts, politicians basically stare at you if they're pro-life and say, look, it's common sense. If the fetus is being hit with a needle or going to be destroyed by some machine, it's obviously going to feel pain. It's kind of a tiny person. I don't care what the neurology of the brain is. I don't care what findings you have about how the fetal brain wires up. This bill is going, and many legislatures have passed it. So straight in defiance of what science knows about fetal brain development, in a way, politics around abortion, people just don't care. They want abortion restricted. They think it's morally heinous. They don't really care what the facts are. They want anything and everything done that can limit that behavior that they see as morally abhorrent, and they just ignore the facts.
Does it work the other way too, Dr. Kaplan? Are there times when maybe the data are not so strong, the promise of some research is not so strong, but hey, it's hot, and even data-driven scientists are happy to get more research money from politicians? Does it work the other way too?
It does, and that's a good example. So if you went back to the fight over the use of embryonic-derived embryonic stem cells, so stem cells that are pulled out of embryos, either embryos that are made for the purpose and then destroyed or leftover embryos at infertility clinics, many people were objecting on religious or moral grounds that embryo destruction was wrong. Scientists basically came in and said, you know, if you let us do this, we're going to get you cures for Parkinsonism and spinal cord injury, and they're just around the corner and people will be getting out of wheelchairs. You saw a lot of overpromising on the science end to break through the moral resistance. It basically became, you don't want to hold people with disabilities or facing death hostage to our moral objection about the destruction of embryos. It was the counterweight to a very powerful objection on the part of some groups in places like California. And the funding went through because I think, to put it bluntly, the scientists overpromised, ignored the facts, used too much hype in the debate.
If you are a scientist, and almost all scientists need grant money from one place or another, whether that's the federal government or a drug company or corporation, if you are a scientist and you want to do your work – are you likely to be more successful if you're good at politics? And I don't just mean congressional politics, but if you are good also at working the system, working people, glad-handing, all those political skills that we sort of frown on in politicians. Do successful scientists do that stuff well?
Well, not every successful scientist is good at the politics of science, meaning some are just not interested, some don't have the social skills to do it. So there certainly are scientific entrepreneurs who are really skilled at making that kind of politics happen. I don't think Francis Collins, who heads the NIH, would be embarrassed if I said he's very skilled that way. He moves well around among congresspeople, foundations, industry heads. He is doing politics. He's glad-handing. He's showing up at the right events. He's trying to get budget directed towards science. So there is a kind of politics of science, absolutely. People can do better if they're good at it. But what I'd say is if you're not good at it, you need a person who can front for you and be good at it and get that money channeled to you.
Dr. Art Kaplan, head of the Division of Medical Ethics at the NYU Langone Medical Center on politicians. Well, tomorrow we speak to retired General Barry McCaffrey. He's the former drug czar under President Clinton, and we're going to talk about his role in stopping a proposed national needle exchange program, despite scientists telling him and the president that it could stop the spread of HIV.